Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
But I want to start out with somebody once said to me, I don't think it was a prophetic word necessarily, but they mentioned to me after I preached a message that just before I was preaching, they opened their Bible and they read this scripture verse, and it was in Isaiah, and it was talking about an individual who was a watcher or a watchdog, emulate that whole thing. And he said, but I read it when I saw it, it like said your name basically. And I was like, oh, that's a little wild, bro. All right, let's calm down. But if I was a dog, I'd be a boar bell for sure. That thing is a beast. Anyway, but it ties into this a little bit because I think today's message is something that I want us to be reminded of. Some of us are going to be reminded of something that we know. Some of us are going to hear something for the first time, and we are either going to be warned so that we don't fall into it. We already have fallen into it, and we're deceived. And I pray that the scales fall off your eyes today, and that you don't become bitter and offended. Because whenever we get called out on what we're believing or what we're falling into, but we've been deceived into it and it's not of God, our first reaction oftentimes is to get mad, to get upset, to get offended. Why? Because it protects us from having to change. And it protects us from being wrong. Nobody likes to be wrong. For some reason, we don't like to be wrong. But it's one of the best things for us to be told we're wrong when we're wrong so that we can get it right. So today, the warning that I have for you, before we get to it, we're going to just start off with the answer, the right answer. And we're going to talk about the purpose of the church, and I'm going to abbreviate this just slightly. I'm going to reference scripture verses, maybe paraphrase or quote part of them. It's not to limit scripture. Please write them down or watch the sermon afterwards and read them fully yourself. None of this is to pull it out of context or anything like that. This is not some loaded thing that I'm trying to run with, all right? But the purpose of the church, why does this matter? Because a church without purpose is lost. And without purpose, we're not going to carry out what God called us to do. And if we're not going to carry out what God called us to do, we're not being obedient. And if we're not obedient, we're not in relationship with Him. And what is a church if they're not in relationship with God? There's no point for us to gather here if we are not pursuing God. Then we're a cult. That'd be a little weird. I'm not planning on being part of one of those. I don't know about you. But a question I want to ask you is, what kind of church do you want to be a part of? What kind of church do you want to be a part of? Do you want to be part of a living church full of God's purpose, carrying out what He's called you to do? Or do you want to be part of a church that has mostly full seats, expands their parking lot, empty altar, a bunch of fun activities going on, but no presence of God? Because they can look the same. They can look the same. So we need to be careful. But the purpose of the church, number one, to glorify God, Ephesians 3:21. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Two, to worship God together, Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. To make disciples, Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Like I said, I'm paraphrasing some of these, cutting them a little short. Again, not to break context, all right? Like I said, write them down or check it afterwards if I'm moving too fast. To proclaim the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it calls us Christ's ambassadors. That word ambassador is important. An ambassador is somebody who is from somewhere else but then goes somewhere for the purpose of the homeland. Note that. Tuck that away, and we're going to talk about it later. To build up believers into maturity. Ephesians 4:12-13. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. 6. To live as a unified body, Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. It talks about it in 1 Corinthians. To love and care for one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another. John 13:35. To be a living witness to the world. By the way we live, people will know of God and his glory. We are a witness. This is in Matthew 5:14, Matthew 5:16, references to this. These are just, what was it, eight, seven? I lost count. Anyway, seven or eight purposes of the church. What we are to do, who we are to be, what we are called to do and act, and how we are to live amongst one another, but also in context to this world. Right? The purpose of the church. You can go throughout Scripture and probably find way more than what I just listed. All right? There's more little tidbits of things that we are called to do in the way we're to live and handle situations. And that's an important thing because in our culture, in our day and age, what is most common now is to generalize. To generalize. To label ourselves or our beliefs with something and not take it by a case-by-case basis because it would take too long. Oh, it would be too much work. Think about this. When somebody asks you what you believe, you just say, I am a Christian. That's a label that hopefully they understand what that means, and now they just know what you believe. But if you run into another Christian, well, what denomination? And now we start getting into all the labels that generalize because we don't like to take the time to speak to every situation. Now, yes, that would be tedious. Somebody walks up to you and asks you what you believe. Well, on this, I believe this, and then you're there all day, and that would not be fun. So generalizations and labels come in handy at times. But the reason why this is also dangerous is because there's a generalization and something going on within the church and with today. But before I dive into the specific example, I want you to know, as you listen to this specific example that I'm going to give you, understand this is a biblical principle that applies not just to my specific example, but to other things in your life. And when I warn you of this and what is happening to the church now, right now, I want you to know that it could happen again someday, not just with this specific example, but other examples. And some of you in here, my specific example, you might not relate to that one, but it relates to another example in your life. And I will try to communicate this to you and let you know what the biblical principle is, though I'm going to take time to talk about the specific example, because this specific example is important right now and is something we need to hear. I am the guy on the bridge waving to stop traffic because the bridge ahead is out. There is danger coming. There is danger the direction we're headed, and we need to look out. Stop the car, turn it around. Why? Because there's something important going on in the world around us today. It's idolatry. And when we hear idolatry, the golden calf, right? But really, idolatry is any time we take something and put it in place of God. God's role for our life, God's role in our life, there's a great many things that he is to us. But when we take something else of this world and we put it in place of God, and it becomes our focus, it becomes our driving power, it becomes our moral compass, it becomes what motivates us, what changes and impacts the way that we live, it changes what we believe, it's what we stand for above all else. This now becomes idolatry. So let me tell you something that is happening right now in the church. Political idolatry. Political idolatry. There's something called identity politics. And most oftentimes it's talked about in the liberal sense. But I want you to know, just because you recognize yourself as a conservative doesn't mean that you don't identify with your politics. Do we need to be reminded today that our identity is in Christ? Why? Because I've heard a lot of talking points from people that a majority of you would agree with. And a couple of those talking points are something very interesting that are being used to manipulate you. There's propaganda being spoken to you by the people that you like, and they're using you in a political war. I'm not here today to choose sides. It's like when my daughters at home are fighting over a game. They like to play Uno. My 4-year-old is actually very good at Uno. I'm serious. She wins. You would be surprised how many times I am piling up those plus fours and plus twos on her. No games. I'm winning and I lose. Okay. But when my two daughters are fighting over something, as a parent, you come in, you deal with the situation. Because I'm not playing that game. I want you to know today, I'm not playing your political game. I'm not playing left and right. I'm playing God-centered. I'm playing God's team. Because that's what you're supposed to do. And I have heard from people that you might love and support on what you would consider the right side. Say something that the church hasn't gotten more political. Politics have gotten more spiritual. Oh, the foolishness. It's always been spiritual. Scripture's clear. Are you kidding me? Scripture's clear. Ephesians 6:12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And it goes on to tell us to put on the whole armor of God. It doesn't say go and equip yourself with the Constitution and the amendment and get in political debates and convince people to vote for so-and-so and so-and-so and this and that and the other. It doesn't say that. It says you are fighting a spiritual war, not a political one, but you are being manipulated. You are being fed propaganda to fight a political war, and all you will do is turn people away from God. The only thing that changes the way somebody will vote is a life change that comes from Jesus. Why? How do we know this? Look at the laws in this nation. How often do they change? From one organization to the other. Whenever there's a left wing or a right wing in office, they change back and forth. But guess what? People still break the law. What stops us from breaking the law, what stops us from breaking it and fulfilling it is living for Christ. And that is the heart change we need to see. So stop buying into the propaganda. Look at the fruit. Because you want to know the truth? This is where generalizations get problematic. There is no political party that completely aligns with God's word. None. But absolutely, there's one that sides more with it than others. For certain. For certain. But it doesn't mean that they're always right. It doesn't mean that that party adjusts your moral compass. It doesn't mean you defend every action. See, the generalization, the label, I'm a Republican. That means I stand for everything they do. It certainly does not. It certainly does not. Why? Because I'm not going to be lazy with my faith. I'm going to approach everything in this world through the lens of Scripture. And I'm going to apply Scripture to everything. Now understand this. We are called to honor the authority placed above us. We are called to participate in these things, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. We are to vote. We are to do these things. I am not villainizing politics. What I am villainizing is, forgive me, what I am villainizing and what I'm saying is evil is to allow our politics to become our identity and our politics to drive us, to shift us. It's become an idol. You can have your political debates. You can. Okay, how good are you at sharing the gospel? Well, because you've spent how much time listening to the news? You've spent how much time scrolling the news? But how much time have you spent learning his word and learning deeper theology and understanding these things? So that way we can be prepared to share the gospel, something that is actually going to change things. Because that funny, interesting, to me funny, but that quip that I heard, that I quoted earlier about the church hasn't gotten more political, politics have gotten more spiritual. It's always been a spiritual war. It's not getting worse. It's the same. It's the same. It might look like it's getting worse, but you know what? Sin has been rampant on this earth since the beginning. Why do you think there was a flood? There's been things going on for a very long time that go beyond what we vote for and what we do. And we've tried many different establishments, monarchies, democracies, republics, all these things. And guess what? None of them have been the answer. What has been the answer for your life? Jesus. That's why he is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the great I Am, God above them all, the one true God, the one true God. Because even if, for some, I don't know, I'm not advocating this, I'm just saying hypothetically, even if there were other gods, Norse, Greek, he's the God above all gods. He's the one true God. Because there's another thing that has been happening lately that I find funny. There's been a lot of conservative comments, podcasts, people saying how pastors need to speak up. They need to make these political statements. They need to step up and fight in politics. They need to step up and do this. And guess what? They even call out Christians, you, not just me on the platform. They call out you that you need to start making statements. You need to start doing this. And then when our president says we're going to rededicate our country as one nation under God, it's, yeah, see, somebody's making the statement doing this. Pastors have been doing that. Are you kidding? That's our job, is to get the people, this nation, to be one nation under God. We're the ones preaching the gospel, preaching the message, taking time for you to understand the word of God so that you can go on living according to his word. It wasn't the president's idea. And I got no beef with him, all right? I'm not here fighting him. I'm speaking to the ideology that all of a sudden we're waiting for the political figure and the pressure that's being put on Christians and pastors to make political statements. I am not supposed to make political statements. I'm supposed to make biblical ones. And if there's an issue in this world that I need to speak on, I'm going to quote scripture. That's why I can be pro-life. It's not about politics. And no, as a Christian, you should never vote for somebody that's not pro-life. Because it's scripture, not because it's Democrat, Republican, or anything else. It's because it's what the Word of God says. Live like it. The difference between an atheist and somebody who votes not according to this, but calls himself a Christian. You know the difference? Atheists openly deny the word of God. Those Christians are just faking it. You cannot read this. You cannot read this. You can't just read this and think that, well, I can still do what I want. No, you can't. And we are called to vote. And for some reason in our country, we have two parties that are the majority of winning everything. Right? We know it. We list it. And again, I'm not here to this and that and the other and make political statements. Like I said, I am making spiritual ones, biblical ones. You go through each issue in this world, in your life, and what's going on around you, and you test it according to scripture, and you vote accordingly. That's what you're supposed to do. That's how we participate in this culture. Because understand this. Which one is it? Philippians 3:20. One more page. There we go. Where's 20? There it is. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. We are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. It goes on with such great news, but the point is that we are citizens of heaven. Quit with your nationalistic baloney. You are an American citizen. Absolutely. We all are. And we are to honor our governing authority until it gets to a place where it calls us to disobey the word of God. Let that be clear. That is very clear. And we are to render to Caesar what is Caesar's. Pay your taxes. Nobody likes it. No. Trust me. Don't like it. But it's not just because it's the law. Jesus says. God's word says. His word says. So do it. So do it. We are citizens of heaven. That needs to be our focus, and our understanding needs to be rooted in God's word. When Jesus was facing Pilate, politics. It's interesting. Why? Because the reason Jesus was persecuted by Pharisees and these holy figures is because they thought the coming Messiah was going to be a political figure. Jesus was not. So they persecuted him because he wasn't the political answer. Much like Christians and pastors who are being pressured to make political statements. That is not what we are called to do. We are called to live like Jesus. What did Jesus do on this earth? Well, he wrote a constitution, and he made amendments, and he ran for public office, and he beat Pilate in a vote. No. He lived out the gospel. He sacrificed himself. They persecuted him because he wasn't political. Don't get lost. Don't get led astray. Don't be deceived. You're being deceived. Let me warn you. If they start to lose the Christian majority vote, they're going to start making placates for your vote. They're going to start acting very holy. But we need to look at God's word. And we cannot be deceived. I'm not saying change your vote. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm telling you to do is don't play the game. Live your faith. Live according to God's word. Don't idolize politics. Don't let it change your moral compass. You make excuses for this political leader because they're on your side. Don't do that. It's idolatry. Don't live in fear of what governing authority is in place. Well, if we just get this one in, then everything will be okay. If you've made that statement, it's idolatry. You don't trust in God. You trust in a political leader. Go find some seasoned veterans in this room. Old people. That's what I meant. Sorry. It seemed like not everybody got it. So I just go find elderly folks and ask them how many different political leaders they've lived through. They're still here. Oh, what about the great toilet paper outage of 2020? We lived through it. We lived through it. I think back to that year, and I was newly married, and I still can't believe it was real. We were in our house for days at a time, just quarantined. Like, if I go outside, is there going to be a tank going down the street? Is this about to be Red Dawn? Like, what is going on? It was a weird world, not to reference that movie. I'm not saying it's okay. Anyway, moving on. But I'm just saying, the things that we've lived through, because God is in control, because he is always faithful, and even if the establishment went full dictator authoritarian and went down the streets and started taking us prisoner and all this stuff, God is still in control. God's word says, do not fear those that kill the body. If you are afraid, it's because it's an idol. You give it too much power and authority in your life. God is on the throne. God is in control. He is the one we worship. It is not politics. And why this is so important is because the purpose of the church, what I started with, where in there does it say that we are political war soldiers? Nowhere. And I'm not just talking about in my words that I said. I mean in Scripture. But you, as a Christian, they're seeking after you, trying to manipulate you, trying to use you for a political war. You can still vote. You can still vote accordingly. But it doesn't mean you play the game. Doesn't mean it changes your moral compass. It doesn't mean that it changes your life and it's your whole motivation and belief. You still vote for what is right. You vote for what is according to God's word. You do that. That is your duty. That is what we're instructed to do. That's about the only political statement I'll make. Any issues that we vote on in this world, look at it according to this. And if you have questions about that, come and talk to a pastor and we'll help find it for you. But we're not going to tell you who to vote for because of this and that and politics and debate and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, we're going to tell you according to God's word what to stand for. But guess what? This isn't like, you know, pre-Luther times. Me and Boss Man aren't the only ones that can read this. We're not the only ones that learned, what was it, Latin? I don't know, or whatever it was beforehand. The original whatever. Don't ask me. I'm not a student, okay? I'm just a talker, okay? But understand that. It's not those times anymore. You know, that's how the whole mess happened. Why? Because the spiritual leaders at the time reading their own word, they misinterpreted a word in the New Testament, and they misinterpreted it as penance. And they started to use that to get people to manipulate them to pay, to buy their way to pray to skulls and silly things. Oh, but then Martin Luther came along and said, oh, wait. It's not penance, it's repentance. We misinterpreted that. And that means a change of mind, heart. And they're like, oh, no, we can't tell people that. We got our Rolls Royce parked out here. We got our Louis Vuittons. We got our Jordans. We got our... No. Martin Luther changed that. So guess what? You don't have to wait for us to interpret it. Go read it and live your life accordingly. You wouldn't have been deceived if you were in this. So get in it. And like I said it previously, this was one specific example that I think is relevant to the times. Absolutely, I think it's relevant to the times. But this applies to anything that is an idol in your life. Some of you, politics, but there's something else in your life. You need to get a hold of that. You need to see it. You need to seek it. Live a life that honors God. Live out the purpose of the church.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.